Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl with Word for the Nations. I'm going to give you the report, the global report from the cosmic realm. And my text for that will be Judges 5, 19. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Tanakh. By the waters of Megiddo, they took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera, the torrent of Kishon, swept them away, that ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. O my soul, march on in strength. This is the report from Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, which was July 16th. 2013, and the upcoming dragon races, or the ascendancy of the dragon. I suggest that you take communion in order to cover yourself under the blood of Jesus, and I will proceed with the particular sword of the word, the scriptures regarding the spiritual conflict that is ensuing on this date in the spiritual geopolitical realm. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Let us first address the dragon or Leviathan in Job 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Here the scripture exposes who Leviathan is, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower. Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with the bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will you companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would ever dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? This is God. Who has preceded me? It's God speaking, that I should pay him. Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, his graceful portions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goes burning light. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals. This is fire breathing. And a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as a stone, even as hard as a lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does the spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of a javelin. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment, and leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On earth, there is nothing like him which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. This great description of Leviathan is a description of a spiritual power. In Isaiah 27, in that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, it's the Lord God Almighty, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Now, Leviathan's main intent is to destroy the people of God, those of the covenant. Let's look at Isaiah 51, 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law, that is God's law, not man's law or lawlessness, but God's law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, and the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one, this is God, he's the one, who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? So the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So here again, it is reiterated with the sword of the Lord that God does this, that the Lord goes before his people, that the stars in the heavens fight, and that the earth groans for salvation and righteousness to spring forward. And this war is against God, and it is against the people of God. And it is against the fulfillment of the prophecies out of the holy word of God. Let's look at regarding Israel and all who are in Israel, the root and the grafted in to the fig tree, Psalm 74, which cries out for a plea for relief from these oppressors. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion where you have dwelt. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. That enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. And now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary, and they have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They've said in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountains and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. The day is yours. The night also is yours. Yes, you have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies, the tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually. So this war against the people of God is the war against God. And here is the indictment. The indictment regarding the people of God and why there is this war in Isaiah 28. Verse 14, therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule, the men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. In other words, we're immune. Nothing can touch us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. And I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. Why? Because there is no righteousness and there is no justice. And black is white and good is evil and male is female, and they've turned and perverted justice. Verse 8:17, and the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies. In other words, the very elements of creation are groaning with the weight of sin on the earth. And the earth will rise up, and the waters will overflow the hiding places. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with hell will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. From morning by morning, it will pass over, and by day and by night. It will be a terror just to understand the report, for the bed is too short to stretch out on, and the covering too narrow, and the one cannot wrap himself in it. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be angry as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring to pass his act, his unusual act. In other words, the supernatural will invade and over break through the natural order. Now, therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a destruction determined even upon the whole earth. Now, this is the Lord saying this, unless you misunderstand or misconstrue this anyway. In Joshua 5:13 through 15, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversary? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. This is a reiteration of this is a spiritual conflict and a spiritual engagement. It is not between this army and that army or this nation or that nation. It is between the powers of darkness and the fallen stars that are operating behind the scenes in the heavenly realm, in the heavenly realms. And let us take now, as we work through all of this and we begin to understand that the conflict is ramping up and revving up, that we have a part to play in it. Joshua had a part to play in it. Deborah and Barak had a part to play. In the Battle of Gibeon, all these things, it says very clearly. Now, here is what Deborah said, prophesied in Judges 4. 14, then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men and followed him. So the Lord went before Sisera. And then in Judges 5, it says that they fought from the heavens, the stars from their courses, fought against Sisera. So the stars are the angelic powers. And the torrent of Kishon swept away, the ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. O my soul, march on in strength. Let's look at the Council of Revelation 12, which is the heavenly battle. And we will go to verse 7 through 17, in which it tells the story of Satan, the old dragon, Leviathan, being thrown out of heaven, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole earth. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. We will look at who they are in a couple of verses. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who was that male child? He was Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And here's who they are. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the battle and the stars and the war that is waging interdimensionally. And the veil is very thin, and these things play out when God commands his people to rise up. And the battle is the Lord's, as said in Joshua, I'm not for your adversary, you. I'm commander in chief of the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Let's look at to Revelation 15. At they again. These people are those in heaven. And these are those who have victory over the beast. That is the carnal nature and the world systems of carnality over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been made manifest. And then let's look into the heavenly realm further, into Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. So why vengeance belongs to the Lord, and we commit our way to him, and he will go before us and do the battle. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now this dipped in blood is his own blood. And it is the blood we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's why we take communion. And the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.